That's the same thing. You know, I discovered the meaning of life last night. If only I could remember what it was this morning. But I wouldn't suggest, I don't suggest it because it's pretty powerful stuff. And some people have very fragile brains that, you know, that a lot of people just, I doubt it. Yeah, I don't know anybody that it made smarter. I don't know anybody that acid made smarter. Yeah. There was this guy I knew named Nostradamus. He, what a mess. But anyway. All right, thanks, guys. Nice to talk to you. Can we do this, can we do it again tomorrow and stuff? Or I think they have the... Well, whenever you guys want to, but they now have the technological know-how. They have the wherewithal. They've got some phone line or something. I don't know. Right. Okay.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Of course, 1-800-521-KFI for Orange County and 521-KFI for L.A. County. And we have a total for you, for all of us together, for the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CD sales, $85,000. Is it really $85,000, Mike? No, I just made up that number because I hadn't gotten an email today on it, so I'm just coming up with a number. I think it's about 82 grand. But by tomorrow, when I get the email from my friend's place about how much it is, I'm figuring it's about 85,000. I forget it. I don't know. I know that it was 82 on Friday, so I'd have it about a 3 grand today. But I also know that there has to be some other way for us to get back into the fundraising in earnest. We began December 15th. We're now coming on our 2 month, marker, if you will. And we're about 80 grand, which would seem to indicate that, you know, in 4 months we would be around 160. We made $180,000 last year, but we did more personal appearances. And since I burned out on those, I'm not going to do those anymore. And since I fried on the rest of that stuff, like plugging it on the internet, what else? We got the Radiothon, and that's it. So I'm going to have to come up with some other way to push the CD. But I think 82 grand is 82 grand. You know, what are you going to do, throw that away? That's a swimming pool. That's my pool, 82,000 bucks. Do you know the money I've raised for my friend's place? I could have put in one hell of a pool. We're talking about $300,000. Jim, you hadn't seen the pool that you could put in for $300,000. Bridges, you know, fountains, swim-up bars. Like, I could have a barbecue in the pool. I could have an island with a barbecue. You know those things that would come up and down, like in those Esther Williams movies? You ever see those, like, those water escapades? You know, you could, like, be in the water, and it would raise you up, and you could go down and change clothes. You could have a changing room under the pool. You could swim into your cabana. Been nice knowing you, my friend's place. I'm getting a pool. Thanks so very much for your association with me. But guess what? I'm pocketing all the rest of the money I'm putting in the pool. Especially since I heard today, what's the latest bid? $105,000. That's good. You betcha. I can't afford that. No man I know can afford that. But it's nice to dream, isn't it? Guy says to me, we can put a pool in for 40 G's, Phil. Yeah, you know, you could put a pool in for 40 G's. You can do a lot of things. I could glue my hair across the top of my head. It almost looks like the real thing. But I ain't going to do it. I saw this guy. He showed me some. I was over to this guy's place today who's, you know, bidding out some work on this thing. He says, well, look at this. And this was some guy had dropped a pool in somebody's backyard, ripped their lawn out. So all they had was a pool and, like, dirt. And then some crappy-looking brickwork that the guy threw. It was scary-looking. But, you know, the guy put it in for, like, $35,000 or something. You can't, 105 grand. I mean, that's a house. It's not a pool. But for 300 G's, I could have a pool that's, like, upside down, like defies gravity. I could have it rotating or something on a spit. The Playboy Mansion ain't got a pool that's worth 300 G's, you think? You could have the grotto at the Playboy Mansion? What do you know about the grotto? Look at Schaefer in here telling me all about the grotto. Yo, Gretchen, Schaefer's telling us about the grotto at the Playboy Mansion. How does he know? We don't know. You're a regular. Schaefer just goes over there, gets his little yellow Speedo, slaps him on, hangs out with Robert Culp there by the just at the side of the grotto. Hangs out with, hey, Hef, what's up? What's up with you, Hef? Puts on his little yellow Speedos, goes over, slaps Robert Culp on the back, goes and gets himself another gin and tonic or whatever, and hangs out by the grotto. And then you go into the cabana and watch all the girls tanning themselves on them beds. You know, those they got those tanning beds in there. How do I know? I was in there one time. I was changing light bulbs and sweeping up, and I saw, you know, it was great. Oh, God. It ain't going to happen. Not in my lifetime. It ain't, no pool's going to happen in my lifetime. And that above ground, is that what it's called? It's looking better and better. That doughboy is looking good. Hey, why not? Think about it, man. You got a nice redwood deck. The doughboy you don't even see because it's surrounded by decking. You can get some of those big plastic fake boulders and put them up. So it looks, you know, almost like a little grotto. That's what Larry Flint's got one of those, doesn't he? They make Olympic-sized doughboys, don't they? Big plastic thing that you can stick in the backyard. See, and then the other thing that's really great is you're spending all this money for a pool. You can spend $100,000, and then Maria says to me, and what about a slide? $300,000 for a pool, and I'm going to put a plastic slide in? How about a slide? You put out like 105, 110, whatever. Yeah, forget it, baby. It ain't going to happen. Slide this.
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. So let me just get back to my discussion there of the pool. So $105,000, you know, grand. Guy says to me, oh, about $47,000 for the pool, and then $55,000 for my landscaping. 47 G's for a pool. All right. And he says $55,000 for landscaping. Well, what are you putting in? What is it, the L.A. County Arboretum? Look, man, I don't need flamingos and peacocks wandering through the backyard. Just stick a pool in. This guy is quoting me, peacocks, flamingos, Hef's grotto. What? It's not the pool at Caesars? You mean the one as you're walking in? How about that big thing they got in front of the Bellagio? Have you ever seen a town like Vegas in your life? They got that big, what is it with Vegas? You know, 5 feet off the strip, and you look like you're in the middle of Tombstone, Arizona. You might as well be out in the middle of there, be some crazy miner or teamster walking up to you with a shovel and a mule, going, I tell you, I swear to Jesus, I see the mule up there, it's mule, I swear to God. But you walk about 4 feet onto the strip, oh, yeah, man, uptown, all the way, yeah, it's beautiful. At night, it's beautiful. In the daytime, is there an uglier town in Vegas? Hey, with all due respect to the great people in Las Vegas, the very hardworking people, it's a great place, but it looks like crap in the daytime. Turn out the lights of the sun, turn on them neon lights, and let's replace a few bulbs. Anyway, that Bellagio, what are you talking about, Caesars? How about that Bellagio? They got a lake out in front of that thing, you walk in, God, love it. What a joint. You ever been there, Craig? The Bellagio? You hang out at Vegas, don't you? Well, didn't you just get back?
No, my girlfriend did.
Oh, your girlfriend did? Oh, it's kind of oddball. My girlfriend just got back from Vegas. You know, any little fling to Vegas, man, you figure she's got to take you with her. Don't you figure that's maybe in the cards somewhere? I'm going to... Hey, listen, baby, see you later. Going to Vegas for a couple of weeks by yourself? Great. Gotta make a couple of dollars. I understand. But anyway, what? My girlfriend went to Vegas to make a few dollars. Maria told me, she says, you want the pool? I said, yeah, I'll go to Vegas for a couple of weeks and I'll... $105,000 fire pit. Boy, I'll tell you, for the money we've raised for the wonderful people at my friend's place... And don't believe it. My wife said to me all through that process, she said, what did you make? We made $170,000, about a quarter of a million before we started this year. Now we're up over $300,000. She said, what are you talking about? That's money you're giving away? I said, well, it's not really my material. It's owned by the radio station. It's owned by the network. It's really not mine. She said, but they're not buying Premier Radio Network. They're not buying the radio station. They're buying your show. $300,000? And she says to me, we could use that money. I said, for what? To put in a pool. Good God, I never lived in a house that's worth $300,000. A $300,000 pool? And the guy's showing me these slides. Have you been to River Country and you know these slides that go through the grotto and down through the forest? This guy's building this stuff for that kind of money. I can buy a wave machine. I got Hurricane Harbor. That's what I got for $300K. I got Hurricane freaking Harbor. I ought to have dolphins jumping through the, you know, like something out of the Bounty. Just dolphins wave jumping, you know, as we're going out to Catalina. And I, you know, everything. I ought to have a little guy named Boy, you know, in one of those house coats walking around with a tray. Raging waters with a guy who's adjusting an umbrella. Just a little guy. I'm not saying anything, but Filipino sounds pretty good. And he's got on a house coat, and he's going, which way you want the umbrella today, Mr. Henry? Well, I don't know. Yesterday was to the right. How about to the left today? Just a guy following him around with an umbrella. How about that? Drinks with umbrellas in him. I stayed at a place in Hawaii one time. I was able to afford it one night. A guy adjusted the umbrella over my head. I said, this is great. And then my girlfriend said, we can't afford it. We had to get out of there that night. We spent one night. We had to get out the next day. They put a lay around my neck. They gave me a rum punch. They took us to the room. The guy adjusted the umbrella. I took a look at how much it was costing me. So we got to get the hell out of here tomorrow. We can do one night and we're out of here. Then we went down the road and rented some guy's condo on the beach. Well, sounds bad, doesn't it? In fact, it really wasn't. It was $60 a night. It was fantastic. It was better than that stinking hotel we were staying in with the guy adjusting the umbrella. $300,000. So anyway, he says to me, well, you take a look at that, man. But I'll tell you, this is all high price. Bull knows this. And bull crap is what it is. Ain't no bull knows nothing. It's BS. It ain't BN. It's BS. Not bull knows. Bull stuff. And I'm telling you right now, I ain't spending no 110, 150, 200, 300 grand for a pool. I'll put a doughboy in and love it. I'll put an Olympic-sized plastic doughboy in and smile. Hey, whatever happened about sitting in the sprinklers? What's wrong with that? You know, I'm serious. You know what you can do? You get that chaise lounge out there. You turn on one of those. What's the sprinkler called that goes back and forth? Is it a water bird? Not a water bird. A slip and slide. Remember those? You put down that plastic, you run a hose on it, you slide your ass down the hill. You know, your underwear gets shoved right up into your crotch and up your crack like there's no tomorrow. You won't find your underwear after going down that thing, that slip and slide. It's all the way up there. Weren't you wearing underwear when you went? Yes, I was. It got sucked all the way up there. I can get a slip and slide, huh? Water wiggle. Now, what's the sprinkler? But a water wiggle's very adult. Couldn't you see me and my wife running through that on a Friday night? I can do it. I can live. I'll make it. I'll be okay. God, I know so many. Everybody out there, their heart is just freaking bleeding for the fact that Phil needs a pool and can't afford it. What can we do for him? Would you please all send me money now? God, what can we do for him? God, oh God, why? God, God. All right, anyway, Phil Henry here. We got coming up tonight a guy who does some sensitivity training for American corporations. We're going to talk about the John Rocker situation and what you can do as an employer or an employee to avoid these problems with sensitivity. Phil Henry at 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, and just talking to Brad Rifkin here. So let me conclude the story, Brad. So anyway, she said that she was not going to be there or something like that.
I, I guess I could talk to her, but I thought for sure she said she'd be there.
No. I want to let everybody know this is Brad Rifkin. He's a security consultant and also sensitivity trainer for a lot of American corporations. And you do just sort of subcontracting?
No, I do. I do independent contracting work.
With these corporations?
That's correct.
And you are talking to different companies and their employees about sensitivity, right?
Well, it's, there's a lot of different corporations. So let me back up a little bit and say that this is a animal that is sort of new to the corporate world in the last 10 to 15 years, sensitivity trading, the way that we teach it now. And you've heard these high-profile cases. There was the Texaco case.
That was the one with the little black jelly beans?
Right. That's a metaphor that's used by some in the sensitivity training game. Denny's is another. But talk about people as jelly beans. And unfortunately, what happened was they got a tape that some Texaco officials overheard calling black people little black jelly beans. Well, the reason why they used that term was because they had used the term jelly bean in identifying racial groups and in clustering, using a metaphor for racial groups. So we're refining what we do, and we're trying to get better all the time. And even in the process of training for sensitivity, you can become insensitive. And
well, let's Brad, if we could get to the case of John Rocker before this thing goes off of the off the radar scope. John Rocker, the Atlanta Brave pitcher, who's been ordered into sensitivity training by Bud Selig, who is the commissioner of baseball. By the way, did you bid on this?
Well, we've offered our services to help John understand, what he's up against. I'm sure there's a lot of different psychologists. There are counselors, sensitivity trainers. It's a mixed bag of people out there. We do. We work specifically with corporations and with corporate employees. And yes, we offered our services. I don't know whether or not John is going to be, it will be referred to us or not. But we do have some very different opinions on how to help somebody like a John Rocker, or help someone who is coming up maybe for the first time to this problem in the workplace.
All right, so how do you help a guy like this? Or does he? First of all, I got to tell you, I mean, when it happened, and I've said this, and many people, much smarter than me have said, well, big deal. The guy's got an opinion. This is America. He ought to...
Well, Philip, let me interrupt you for a minute. Yeah, this is America. Yeah, he has an opinion. But everything comes back, and everything affects, and everything is a tool that is used in social situations that can help you get what you want. If you go around in life calling people names, using racial epithets, using slurs, racial slurs, using derogatory terms that identify any individual group, you're not going to get very far, very fast. You're not going to get what you want. Isn't the goal of life to get out of life what you want and to facilitate your growth and to facilitate your success in this world? I would ask you that, Phil Henry. I've known you for a few years. You're a successful guy. Wouldn't you say that's the goal?
The goal of life? The goal of life is to be happy, and yeah, and part of happiness is being happy in your work and happy in your relationships.
So that's a good answer. And so that means speaking the language that will best get you to where you want to go. Would you say that?
Well, you're talking about being tactful, right?
I'm talking about being tactful, and I'm talking about speaking the language of any given situation so that you can facilitate your movement through life. John Rocker needs to learn, as do a lot of people, that you can't walk into these situations. Some of the things he said that he didn't like foreigners. He said queer, which was
a reference to gay people.
Yeah, he said he was sitting next to some queer on the whatever train it was going up to the Bronx. Okay. Now, let me tell you something, and let me tell John Rocker, and let me tell the people out there. It's a number 7 train. Now, remember which train it is up to the Bronx. First of all, you don't say queer and you don't say fag, because some of the gays are some of the most highly politically organized people in this country. Number one, and number two, They're very sensitive people. They're going to get their feelings hurt. I mean, everybody is different.
And what are you talking about, gay people being really sensitive?
Well, everybody is sensitive, but the gays are very, very sensitive from that standpoint. So if you're running around, you're saying queer or a fag or something like that, that's no good. You can't do that. And the other thing you can't do with a lot of the gays, they get very upset if you say, do you have a boyfriend? Just to give an example, if I were talking to John Rock, I'd say, when you meet one of the gay, the gay people, okay?
Right.
You don't say, have you got a boyfriend? You say, I got a cheat sheet here I use sometimes, Phil. Do you have a life partner?
Do you have a what?
Do you have a life partner is what you say to these gays. And the reason why you do that is because you don't want to say boyfriend. That's very highly offensive to a lot of the gay, the gay guys and the...
Well, what about lesbians, the women, the...
Well, it's the same sort of the same thing. The lesbians don't care as much as the gay men do. I'm trying to get on. Let me look down here. You say, my boyfriend, you say, you don't have no boyfriend. Do you have a life partner?
And yeah, but if you were meeting, so in other words, not to get bogged down in minutia here, you're counseling John Rocker and...
You're counseling anybody who has shown insensitivity, and you have to wake them up to the reality of where they live. We live in America. This is America. You don't go up to a black guy and say, something like... Hey, I see that you're colored. You know, you don't say, hey, I see that you're colored. You would say, well, you're not even going to say, hey, I see that you're black. Do you want to come in here? But you say, if you're saying, do you have any other colored friends? No, you don't say that. Do you have any other? And, of course, you never, ever say anything like, we all know the N-word, okay?
Yes, it's a hateful word.
Absolutely, Phil. It's a very hateful word. But there's other words that are just as wrong. And the John Rockers of the world and people that I talk to, most Americans, have done this to jigaboo. You know, you don't do that. Stove lid, you don't do that. You don't say smoke. You don't want to do none of that. Spear chuck and...
I got it, okay.
Well, but you see what I'm saying?
I understand. So these are words that a guy like... And John Rocker doesn't appear to be a stupid man. Am I right or wrong? Is he stupid?
That's an odd one. I don't think so. I don't, he seems to be an intelligent guy, but socially he's stupid. Culturally he's stupid. Meaning he doesn't get where he is, he doesn't understand who he is and the position of influence that he has. So he's going to look at a black and say, well, what are they? They're going to look at how far are you throwing that spear today? You know, something like that. And
well, he didn't. He made no. I wouldn't say that about John Rocker. He plays with black guys. He didn't make that reference.
No, he didn't make that reference, but he did say that thing about the monkey. Wasn't that a black guy?
I don't know.
All right, so he said, fat monkey about some guy. The other thing you don't do, and the other thing you never do this. You never, ever do this. Jews, I mean, the Jewish guy, you never call him a Jew.
I understand that.
Okay, well, this is what I mean about sensitivity training. When you're talking to corporations, I tell a lot of my people, when I start out in a corporation, because a lot of these corporations are owned by... You know what I'm saying? For like Jews own a lot of them. I mean, John Rocker.
Well, wait a second.
No, I mean, John Rocker's in the entertainment business. It's run by a lot of Jews are in there, is what I'm saying. I say, if you want to keep your job, is all I'm saying.
Are you're making some assumptions now, though, based upon.
No, hold on for a minute. The film business, the TV business, is all a lot of. Where you work, I'm sure you got a Jew that runs what you do, ain't you?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. The fact is, you never call him Jew. If you ever work for a Jew, don't ever say, I work for a Jew. Say, I work for a Jewish guy or I work for a Jewish woman. You never, ever, because these Jews, they'll eat you alive. They'll eat you alive if you do that. So the point I'm trying...
All right, so are we talking here about speech? Are we talking about sensitivity?
I think they go hand in hand, Phil. I think you have to have the sensitivity as a human being. You have to use your ability in communication. So right off the bat, women, that's another one, women. Good God, women. Don't ever. Chances are you're going to work. If you don't work with a woman now, chances are someday you will work. Because one of the things that's going on now, these women, they're getting jobs. And they're all over the place. So if you're in a workplace with a woman, you have got to watch your rear end morning, noon, and night. Don't ever say nothing to her about her clothes. Don't ever say nothing to her about, the nice-looking...
Hold the line here, Brad, okay?
I'm sorry?
Hold the line. I got to take a break. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show at 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin, who is does sensitivity training and consulting with a variety of American corporations, and we have him on to talk. Before, as I said, it goes off completely off the radar, the John Rocker case, who's been ordered, John Rocker, the pitcher of the Atlanta Braves, if you don't know. Brad, tell us about John Rocker again so that people understand.
Right. John Rocker's a baseball player, Phil. He's a public personality who made some comments about the people of New York being queer. He used the term foreigners in a disparaging way. He doesn't like foreigners, he said. He talked about welfare mothers. He talked about these kinds of things. There wasn't a lot in what he said other than the queer appellation, which I would say was very overtly racist, but it was insensitive because it didn't reflect an understanding of our culture and of the people in the culture, and it didn't reflect necessarily an understanding of a city like New York, which is very, I'm from New York originally, it's a very cosmopolitan place.
And all right, before we get to some phone calls, you were making a point about women in the workplace. There's a lot of people who are in the workplace today that weren't there 30 years ago, so we should get used to the ever-changing face of the workplace, right?
Absolutely, Phil, and women are number one on that list. I mean, there are more women working now than there were 20 years ago. You look around, you got women working, and if you don't work with a woman, someday you're gonna. And the other thing that a lot of these guys are gonna have to get used to, a lot of them are gonna be your boss. Now get a load of that. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, because I was making a point, Phil, about clothing. You can't say to a woman that she looks good in this or in that, because you're gonna get in trouble for sexual harassment. The only time. On Casual Friday, for instance, you know a Casual Friday?
Yeah, when people can wear...
People can come in jeans. Then, if she's wearing tight jeans or something like that, you know she's probably, you know she's looking for it or something, you can make a comment then, but you're not going to make a comment about some, broad, or a woman, I should say, Phil, in the tight jeans, other than Casual Friday.
Okay, Brad Rifkin with us here, sensitivity expert. We have Wilmington on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hi.
I just have a question as to how this man is representing sensitivity training when the basis is acceptance of people and
yes.
Not that it's okay to think that they're gays and queers but just don't say it to them, or use a Jew runs your place but just don't call him a Jew. Behind his back you can, but just don't say it to his
No, kid. I didn't say that. I'm just saying.
The basis is acceptance.
You can't say
it's a
that
mindset.
You can't say he's a Jew.
I don't care. It shouldn't be a point of what he is. He's your boss.
No, but the point is a lot of people...
It's a point of a mindset of acceptance, not a mindset I can call him whatever I want, just not to his face, because I'm sensitive.
No, wait a minute. You're not telling me to ignore the fact you're a woman.
I don't care if I'm a woman or not. I have a point
All right.
of view.
Are you saying we should ignore that you're a woman?
I think you should accept...
Lady, will you take whatever you got in your mouth out of your mouth? What are you doing? You eating in the car or something?
I don't know. I was chewing a piece of gum. He's getting me all mad. I can't believe you.
What am I getting you mad about? What am I getting you mad about? I said that you have to be aware of your surroundings and aware of the people that you're around, right?
Right, right. But you're using
all right.
All
you're telling me that I'm not supposed to notice that a guy's a Jew. I'm not supposed to notice that he's gay. So I guess I'm not supposed to notice you're a woman, which is ridiculous because we have restrooms for women.
Okay,
we have different things in the workplace for women. I have to know that I have women that I employ. Otherwise... They need pregnancy leave, they need family care, et cetera, all right? So to say don't notice that somebody is a woman or a Jew or gay is stupid.
No. I didn't say you weren't supposed to notice, but you're not
saying supposed to
it's
what?
Okay to think they're a queer and a fag and a Jew.
I didn't say
but
that.
But just don't say it.
No, I didn't say that.
That's exactly what you're professing on this radio.
No, I didn't.
That's what I got from it.
Well, maybe you. Well, you're getting the wrong thing.
You're presenting it wrong.
No, you're listening wrong. I said that what you have to do is you have to understand that you're working for, if you're working for a Jew, you don't call a guy Jew.
But why are you referring him to a Jew on national radio?
He's Jewish.
So why are you using the term that people shouldn't use if it's sensitive or insensitive?
What? I know you don't understand, so listen to what I'm saying.
You're using all of the terms that are insensitive.
You said if
you work for a Jew, you never call a Jew a Jew. You understand
right.
what I'm saying? Do you
But you shouldn't think a Jew a Jew.
What?
You shouldn't think it. It's
I'm just
mindset.
Saying, like
it's
a black
a
guy.
It's a mindset, a stereotype. Oh, a Jew runs your place. He must be your boss.
No, I didn't
that's
say that.
That's a mindset and a stereotype.
I didn't say that.
And that's the most
yes, you did. You said, do I
yes,
work for
it?
I did
you
not.
You work for a Jew, don't you?
I did
you
not.
You work for a Jew, don't you?
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No,
in
I did
New
not.
In that New York accent, you did.
You know something? You're a little stupid. You know, you really are. You're just
okay.
A little bit stupid, okay?
So, I guess
all right.
That's insensitive.
I thought
too.
I heard...
What's insensitive? To say you're stupid?
No, you don't see the point of view. It's accepted.
Factor it, okay?
It's accepted.
Okay, thanks for your call. 1-800-449-8686. You said to me, you work in entertainment, Phil. Don't you work for a Jew?
I said you work in the entertainment business. There must be some Jews around there, is what I said, or some Jewish people around there. And
well, frankly, I don't know if there are or if there aren't.
Well, you know what? There, you got any Goldberg or anything like that, you can pretty much figure as Jew. And
wait a minute. I'm not okay. All right. So suppose I notice a guy's name, and you know he could be German, he could be Austrian, he could be Swedish. I worked for a guy named Hadberg in Minnesota.
Was he a Jew?
No, he was not a Jew. He was Swedish. There's a lot of that in Sweden.
That's what I mean. So you have to understand. I don't know why everybody's getting upset with me all of a sudden.
Well, I don't know that anyone's getting upset with you so much as not understanding what you're saying.
I'm saying. Understand the language that you use, okay, can hurt people.
Clearwater on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
I'm driving in a car in Clearwater with three other psychologists in addition to myself. We all do sensitivity training in major corporations.
In major corporations?
Yeah, in major corporations.
Do you work for the corporation? Do you work for the corporation or do you? What do you
no,
do?
No, we're independent contractors also. And we also...
Well, what is that, a company that you have? Is that a company that you have?
He probably does what I do.
Yeah, and we actually think that this is a comedy segment on your show. We worry about a sensitivity trainer, first of all, who uses ain't in a sentence.
No, it's about using the language of the people.
And we also worry about somebody who focuses only on 10% of what sensitivity training is all about in terms of what you should or shouldn't say to people. He misses the whole point.
I missed the point. Sensitivity
training
what am I missing the point on? What am I missing?
Hold on for a minute. Hold on. We're not giving speech. Hold on. We're not giving. We're not giving speeches. Hello. We're not going to give speeches. Okay. So we're
going
to just hold on. Hold on for a minute. Okay. What are you saying, Brad?
I don't know what the point is that he's trying to make. Okay. I'm talking about a guy that was singled out by the commissioner of baseball for sensitivity training because the comments that he made that were printed that were insensitive to people. The first thing a guy like that's got to learn is there's certain words you don't use. This guy, I don't know what he's saying. If I'm talking to John Rocker,
if I'm talking to
John Rocker, the first thing you have to understand is your position in society, the fact that you're a famous person and that you get quoted a lot in the newspaper. You have to watch what you say.
Okay, thanks for your call, sir. 1-800-449-8686, Birmingham on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Is this an April Fool's joke, early? Because this guy is a joke.
Sorry, I'm talking about what I do for a living.
You're making it, when you made the comment earlier that Jews are in, that you must work with a lot of Jews because you're in the entertainment industry. That is a generalization.
No, I'm sorry, I'm saying the way that you talk to people has to be very sensitive.
But you made a generalization that all Jews work in the entertainment
industry. No, I did not. I didn't say that.
That's racist.
I didn't say that. No,
he didn't, sir. What he said, let me jump. He said, if you work in the entertainment business, you must work for Jews.
I didn't say that either. I said, you work in entertainment, there must be some Jews around there.
Okay, how would you determine their Jews?
See, how could I? You don't even know what you're hearing.
Yes, how would you determine their Jews in the entertainment industry?
Well, you're from Alabama. How do you do it?
Well, I don't. I don't care if they're Jews in the entertainment industry. There are people in the entertainment industry.
Well, the entertainment industry in Birmingham isn't exactly smoking, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, see, now that's a racist comment in itself. That's a comment against the South.
Yes, it's a racist comment against television producers. It is a horrible... The National Association of TV Producers are going to string me up.
The National
Association for the Advancement of Weathermen is going to...
All right, don't be a smartass.
Well, what is this guy talking about, racist?
Well, you're preaching against that John Rocker should be very sensitive to racist comments, but you can't just differentiate between a racist comment yourself that you just made.
Well, he made a racist comment, sir? He was talking about Birmingham. How's that about Birmingham?
When he generalized that there are a lot of Jews in the entertainment industry, he made a racist comment
What business are you in, sir?
I'm in sales. You made
and there aren't
comment.
A lot of Jews in what you do?
You made another comment that women, you couldn't make a comment about a woman's clothing except when she wore jeans to work, and especially if they were tight jeans.
On Casual Friday.
On Casual Friday, because she was looking for it. That's
no, I'm saying if a woman comes to work on Casual Friday wearing spray-on jeans, you're not telling, she's not asking for it?
The fact that she's asking for it is regardless. I mean, it's not appropriate to make a comment like that.
Appropriate to make a comment. What? I'm on a radio show now talking about sensitivity training.
But the fact that you're
saying that a woman's guy,
looking for it.
Well, what do you think if she comes to work with jeans that are in so tight? You know what a camel toe is, don't you?
Well, okay, come on.
I'm simply saying to the guy, what do you want me to tell? What do you now? What? What did I say wrong?
The fact that she's wearing tight jeans doesn't necessarily mean that she's looking for comments. She may like tight jeans.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. The point being
I'm talking about your statement that where you said a woman's wearing tight jeans so
is looking for it.
All right. Then I'm sorry I said that. I should have said that she's wearing tight jeans. She wants to show off her ass or whatever she's doing. But I'm simply saying...
She may like tight jeans.
A woman that wears tight jeans is showing off her ass. That's number one. Number two, you're not supposed to say nothing about it.
You said on Casual Friday I could.
On Casual Friday you can.
Okay, but that goes to your qualifications.
I beg your pardon?
You have no qualifications to make any comment about a racist comment.
I honestly believe you don't know what it is you're saying, so I'm just going to... I appreciate that. Phil, move on, please.
Well, aren't you going to...
Just move on, all right?
All right, anyway, sir, thank you for your call.
Just move on.
1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin, who is in sensitivity training with a major American corporation on the line with us, talking about John Rocker and what he should or shouldn't have said or done. 1-800-449-8686. Although I do think the comment that if a woman wears tight jeans on Casual Friday, she's trying to show off her ass is a little much, and I don't know whether that's sensitivity or just... he's just a lout. I have no idea. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Brad Rifkin, sensitivity specialist, is on the line with us from Los Angeles. Talking about, you're from New York, aren't you, Brad?
Originally, Phil, I'm from a place called Alphabet City, which is called East New York, and they call it that because of the streets. So,
is that like a rough part of town or whatever?
Yeah, it was a rough part of town.
Well, the reason why I say that is, what did you think of John Rocker's comments about New Yorkers?
Well, I didn't like them. I mean, it is a very cosmopolitan city, and you have to understand, especially when you're on the train number 7 going to the Bronx, you're going to see all kinds of people going up there. But you do have to understand how you say what you say. And
that whole thing about women and Jews and gays and blacks not wanting to be called certain things, you're saying that's just one part of the training that you give them?
Well, yeah. I mean, but first, like I said, you don't say to a gay guy, where's your boyfriend? You don't say to a black guy, do you have any other colored friends? And you don't say to a woman, hey, you know, your butt looks good in them pants or something. You don't do that. You can't do it. You're going to have a sexual harassment deal, and then that's the end of the road.
All right, here is Simi Valley on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to know, what qualifications does he have to be a sensitivity trainer?
Well, I've took classes. I mean, I don't know what you've been. Sensitivity training is nothing you take in college, okay? I took 4 years of sociology. I took another postgraduate degree in psychology. I went to work as a private therapist for a while. I worked in a state-run hospital. And then I went out into business, and I gave up my practice for a while. I worked in the entertainment business, as a matter of fact. And then I re-involved myself in corporate life with the sensitivity training.
I know, because you have said the most insensitive things on the air that I've ever heard.
Such as what?
The tight jeans, the broads. You mentioned broads.
Wait a second. Are you telling me women don't wear tight jeans? And I said, don't comment on a woman wearing tight jeans. You're going to get in trouble.
I can't believe you went to college.
Yes, you did say that. I mean,
so what did I say that was wrong?
Well, I mean, that, you know what? What you're saying is all common sense. I mean, you wouldn't have to go around
the
block.
Oh, really? Would you be surprised at the number of guys see a woman walk by with a tight pair of pants on and they're making a comment about her butt? You don't want that, right? Or maybe you do.
You are unbelievable.
I don't know what it is you are asking me.
Yeah, he does have a point.
You answered my question.
Well, what is your point, ma'am?
Point was, first of all, you said you didn't even have to go to college to do what you're doing.
There's no sensitivity training degree you can take specifically. When I went to school, there wasn't.
I understand that. But people actually hire you to come into their companies.
Ma'am, let me help out here. What did he say specifically? What is it specifically that you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say
she brought up
women in tight jeans. That was so offensive.
And what did he say that was offensive?
That painted on jeans.
Are you telling me that women don't wear jeans that are tight?
Not very few wear jeans that are that tight to work. I don't know
on
what
casual Friday
you've been seen
on
in.
Casual Friday.
None.
Like the spandex. Well, I'll tell you what I saw.
Spandex.
I saw a woman in the office the other day on casual.
In what office?
It was one of the offices we were working in. It was right over here in the San Fernando Valley in Woodland Hills. It was a casual Friday. She had on spandex shorts and cowboy boots.
Well, you know what?
Some people have no taste. She was asking for it.
That's another one. That is so insensitive. What was she asking for?
A woman wearing...
What was she asking for? What do you mean?
What is the lady's asking? What do you mean by that comment, Brad?
When a woman wears a pair...
I understand. You don't have to repeat that. When you say she was asking for it, what do you mean by that?
She wants a guy to come up and grab the cheek of her ass.
That is so... You're outrageous.
I'm outrageous?
No.
Then why would she wear pants
you
like that?
If
she doesn't want a guy to grab the cheek of her ass, why would she wear pants like... Oh, yeah, okay.
Why are you even letting him on the air?
I want to understand. Are you saying that when a woman wears very tight spandex shorts...
Yeah, she said, look at my ass.
Can you believe she said that?
Look at my ass.
Oh, my God. He's ridiculous.
She's got a peach of an ass. She's asking for a picking is all I'm saying.
This guy's sick.
And I'll
tell
you this, ma'am. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you work, but I don't think you work anywhere, because if you did, you'd understand that the things that I say happen all the time. Where are you, at home? Are you a housewife? Is that what you are? Yeah,
you're out of your mind?
Well, I don't know, lady. You sound like you're kind of cloistered, like you've never seen a big, bad world. Like you don't know what goes on out in the offices. What do you do for a living?
I sell real estate.
Real estate?
Yes. Do you know what that
is? I sold my house 2 years ago. The real estate agent, a couple of real estate agents that came to show it, were wearing spray-on pants.
Oh, you're ridiculous.
I live in Woodland Hills, and I was selling my house.
Now you're making
pants.
Another generalization. So all real estate agents wear spray-on jeans,
You're out there in the uptight city of Simi Valley. You're some kind of prude. I don't know.
All right.
You are so outrageous.
I sold my house. Two real estate agents come in with the crack. You could see the crack and everything.
You know what?
I swear to God.
Hello, you need help.
No, lady, you need help because you don't know what's going on in the world.
Oh, please.
You don't know what's going on in the world.
You
need to open your mind.
All right. What we don't need, I guess, is the you know, you're very, very, very graphic.
Well, you could see everything. You could see the crap.
I understand that. We don't need you to be that graphic. Palmdale on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I just really think you ought to get this guy off the telephone. He is the most insulting, ignorant
censoring.
Man.
No freedom of speech, huh?
Well, that's obvious how you feel to people.
What?
You obviously do not think a Jewish person should be called a Jew, and yet you sit there on the radio and call him a Jew?
I'm saying you're not supposed to call him a Jew.
Ask Phil Hendry, don't you work for a Jew?
What's
the matter with you?
I didn't say, do you work for a Jew?
Yes, you did.
Well, you're not being very sensitive to me, lady. You're being very insensitive to me now.
Oh, my. I do apologize that I hurt your feelings.
Well, you're being very racist.
You are the most racist.
You say that a woman wearing tight jeans is
asking for it.
Asking
Does that
to
mean
have her
she wants
squeezed.
To get raped?
No, I said have her ass squeezed.
I'm t- Oh, my
word. But then maybe you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
Oh, yes, I know quite a bit more than you would think.
Oh, so you're showing it off at work, huh?
Wait a second.
No, she started it.
Wait a minute, you're over the line.
No, she started it. Showing it off at work. Huh? Huh? Ah, damn it. It's the end of the hour.
That's right.